Play a little longer just so I could think about what to do with a sermon here. Yes, he's been playing for like an hour now. First Samuel, we'll do First Samuel, but I'm going to cut it short a little bit here. First Samuel chapter 29 is about David's reputation and what it helped him with. A good reputation will help you, and bad reputation hurts you, and you know that. Not that your image is the main thing, but if you carry the name of Jesus Christ, then your image is reflects on Jesus Christ. And so 1 Samuel 29, what's happening here is, if you remember, David is living among the Philistines now, and they're getting ready to go to war with the Israelites. And David finds himself in a kind of precarious situation where he's going to be fighting on the side of the enemy. And so, in chapter 29, the Philistines gather their troops to fight. And for the last year or so, David's been sort of running his own campaigns under the protection, really, of Achish, the Philistine prince. And you know, when I read this, Achish is either presented as a guy who's not just that bright, or he's very, he sees so much opportunity in David that he kind of disregards some more obvious things, but he sees such an opportunity to use this war hero under his own command that he misses some things that he's going to get called on the carpet for in this chapter. So David's getting ready to, he lines up. I mean, he gets in line with the Philistines and with Achish. And let's just read a couple verses here. Verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day? The princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. So they're mad at their own guy here. They're mad at the prince, Achish, and they're mad because he brought David into their army, and they're concerned that David's going to be a spy or a hindrance to him. Verse 4, the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming in unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favored thee not. Wherefore now return, go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day? And I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king. I don't think that's necessarily an honest question. I don't think David really wants to be involved in this fight. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight, and as an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return unto the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. All right, so I'm trying to talk fast. I'm trying to read fast. I'm trying to go fast here. So situation, David finds himself in a position where he's going to have to fight his own people. And he's been a good servant to Achish, although he's been running his own kind of campaigns, hasn't really done anything to hurt Achish. He has a good reputation with Achish. And so, like I said, Achish is either just, he's either not very bright or he's just chomping at the bit to utilize this war hero. I don't know which one it is, but he gets called on the carpet. Achish gets reprimanded by his own people, and they see David in the midst of the army. The Philistines, remember, David had killed Goliath probably 15 years before this. So it's not folklore, but there are probably some folks who have only heard about David, but they don't know who he is. And then there are other Philistines who recognize who David is from, you know, a decade ago, and they see him, and they obviously do recognize him, and they say, why is this man in our army? Who brought him here? And Achish says, well, he's been a good servant to me. And the Philistines look at Achish and say, what are you doing? This guy's our enemy. You're creating a situation where David, he'll probably use this to his advantage and to make things right with King Saul. And the way he'll make things right with King Saul is he'll start killing all of our people, and that way he can head back to Israel. And so anyway, the Philistines, they call out Achish. They say, man, you're kind of cloudy in your thinking here to have David on our side. And so Achish is the one that has to bring back the bad news. David, I'm sorry, you can't fight your own people. And he brings back the news to David. And David and his men are dismissed. But David kind of asks a question at the end here. You know, what have I done that's been bad? And I don't think it's necessarily an honest question, but I think if he was so eager to leave, that might mean more questions for Achish, like, so you really don't want to fight with us? Or so David kind of puts up a little bit of a front and says, well, why are you dismissing me? And I think he's glad to be dismissed, but I don't think he's gonna let Achish know he's glad to be dismissed. But the point is, in all of this, David has found himself in a situation that doesn't seem like there's any way out of it, which David seems to find himself in these situations kind of regularly. And it brought to mind this thought, apart from David's reputation, which he has a good reputation, and that's kind of the main point in what we're going to talk about this morning. But it does lead to this thought that there are some things just beyond, well, in fact, most things just beyond our control. And so you have this verse in the Bible that says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And so the Lord has arranged David's situation so that he's not going to have to fight against the Israelites. He's not going to have to fight his own people. And furthermore, you'll see in the next chapter, he gets dismissed and he gets to address a situation that's going on back at home in Ziklag. So all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. David finds himself in a situation where it doesn't really matter what his... he doesn't have any power over this situation. He can't change what's happened, and so the Lord is going to have to do something in order to get him out of it. And but that verse, and keep it in mind because we'll come back around to it. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. There's a couple qualifiers in that verse that we're going to deal with. The one of them is, all things work together for good to them that love God. It's not that all things work together for good, but all things work together for good to them that love God. And the second qualifier is to them who are called according to his purpose. I know we love the first part, all things work together for good. We love that part, but that's not the verse. The verse is all things work together for good to them that love God. David clearly has demonstrated a love for God all through his life. Every record you have of him up to this point, he loves God. And he's called according to his purpose. Clearly called, he's going to be the king at some point here. So that being said, we'll come back around, we'll circle back to that. But I want to give you a couple of thoughts about his reputation, because Achish makes David's reputation sort of the defense that he has for using David the way he's going to use him, or he wants to use him. He said, he's been a good man. I found him faultless. And it almost reminds you of the description that Pilate has of Jesus Christ. I don't find any fault in this man. He's been good. And so Achish is kind of, I don't know, you kind of feel like Achish is in the position that Pilate's in when Jesus is crucified. It's like, you know, I don't find any fault in him, but you guys want this to happen, so we'll just let that happen. First thing you notice is David's taken careful care of his reputation. And it's not just his image. He's not trying to display an image. He has actually loved God and created that reputation of a man who loves God. And so he's known that way by his peers, by his friends, by his enemies. And reputation is this... it's what people think about you, and we can get caught up in that. But like I said, it's not image. It's in David's life comes out of a heart for the Lord. And so what he does and his behavior is all a part of his love for the Lord. And that's what people see in his life. Now, here's how you and I can kind of go wrong with reputation. Sometimes some of you may be so spiritual that you don't care what others think about you. And that's a ditch. That's a ditch. Some of you may be so carnal you don't care what other people think about you. That's a ditch. So both sides. It's both sides of the road. The question is, do you reflect Christ? And the answer is, if you claim Jesus Christ, you reflect Christ. You do. Whether you want to or you don't want to, you do. And when people watch you, they think about Christ. They think about, well, if this is God to this person, then I either don't want anything to do with that God, or, man, what does he have that I don't have? What does she have that I don't have? So, first point is you need to take care of your reputation. David's taken care of his, but not in the sense that he's tried to create an image. His image has been created out of a love for God. And the Bible says this about, it talks so much about, in the New Testament, about behavior. Did you know that there are verses in the Bible that deal with, as a Christian, how you are an employee? And how you are an employer. And it says, if I'm just going to rephrase it a little bit, but it says essentially, if you're a poor employee, you bring blasphemy to the name of Jesus Christ, because I got this Christian who won't show up on time. I got this Christian who says he's a Christian, but he works one day out of the five I call him to work. you guys understand this stuff, but that's when you watch that in someone else's life, you say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with what that guy has, especially if you're in a position of responsibility and maybe running your own business. And this guy, probably everybody you hire is a Christian, you know, and they're all, you know, God this and God that, and by faith and faith, and we got the faith and whatever. The point is, you need to take care of your reputation. There's more in the New Testament about your behavior as a Christian than there is about you receiving Jesus Christ. There's more about you living the Christian life and what that looks like as a son, as a father, as a mom, as an employee, as an employer. It talks about mothers and young ladies and ladies. It talks about being discreet. He says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Here's the point. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what that is? That's reputation. That the point is, if you misbehave, it's not necessarily your reputation reflects on what you claim to believe. If you're a Christian, or you say I'm a Christian, and you have you gossip all the time, and you're in everybody's business, well, that reflects on Christ. And that reflects on Christ to the lost world. Put it this way: you got a younger generation now. I don't know if it's every generation's like this, but younger. Put it this way: kids watch adults. Just watch adults. And if your behavior doesn't match what you say you believe, kids know that. Kids know that. And believe, I mean, as parents, we know that. I think we feel our own hypocrisy. I mean, when you have to correct a behavior that was in you as a child, you feel that. I mean, you feel the hypocrisy there. And you just pray your kids don't figure it out. But you know it's there. Point is, kids watch, lost folks watch, and your reputation matters. It matters particularly not because of who you are, it matters because of who Jesus Christ is. And it matters because you reflect on Jesus Christ. If you say you're a Christian, if you don't say you're a Christian, it doesn't. Whatever you do, it doesn't. Who cares? But if you're going to carry around the name of Jesus Christ, then what your behavior is what it's all that people have to go on. You know, there's this verse that says when David was getting anointed king or being chosen as king, this verse that says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And we make that out to be, well, it's only my heart that matters. Your heart doesn't matter to anyone in this room. The only thing that matters to anyone in this room is how you behave. You know why? Because I can't see your heart. I don't know what's in your heart. But I can watch how you conduct business. Well, it's just my heart. God sees my heart. God sees my heart. Yeah, God sees your heart, but to the society you live in, none of them see your heart. This is all we have to go on, is what we can see, what we can observe in your life. And so Paul will say it over and over again, and you got to get this stuff in line, because what people are watching of you, that's what they're thinking. This is Jesus Christ, or this is your religion, or this is what the Bible says. You need to care about your reputation. Like I said, there's ditches on both sides of the road here. Some folks get so spiritual, it's just like, and I understand, you kind of get callous toward people because you get frustrated, you get cynical with people. And you kind of get frustrated and you're like, well, I don't care what anybody thinks anyway. Well, that's dangerous. Because you need to care what people think. Because what people think about you is what they think about, consequently, Jesus Christ, the Bible, your religion, the words of God. And what they observe in you and what they think of you, it's just, you can't just say, well, I don't care what people think, you know, it's just me and God. It isn't just you and God. It's never, no man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. You weren't saved if you're saved to go live in a cave somewhere. You have to be conscious of how people view you. And not just, I'm not just talking about an image. I'm talking about, you gotta consider your behavior, because that's what people watch. That's all they have to watch. And then on the other side, you know, there's the carnal. I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to do my own thing. No, you're going to do what 50 million other people do on TikTok is what you're going to do. You're not going to do your own thing. You don't have any original thoughts. You're going to do exactly what you see other people doing. And henceforth, again, going back to people do what they see, what they watch, what they observe. David has had a good testimony. Achish keeps saying it. You've been good. He's been faultless. I can't find anything wrong with this man. I don't see anywhere he's been like an angel of God. I mean, there's just nothing wrong with him. Care about your reputation. All right, I'm going to try to pick it up here. Your reputation, now, in this situation, 1 Samuel 29, it's David's reputation that God uses to deliver him out of the situation, and here's how it works. And your reputation will either keep you out of trouble or to keep putting you in trouble. Because the people around you know, they know what they can offer you, and they know how they can get to you. And if you have a reputation of yielding to temptation, people around you know that. And they know what they can offer you. And they know what they can bring into your life and get you to come along with them, be hooked on the same thing they're hooked on. David's reputation, it delivers him. It delivers him in two ways. First of all, he's got a reputation for being a warrior for God. And his enemies know that, and they're afraid of that. The ones that don't know him, like Achish probably knows him, they don't want David around them because they're afraid of David. They're afraid that he's going to use the situation to hurt them, and so they don't want him around. On the other hand, David has such a good reputation with Achish that Achish wants him around. He wants to keep him close. So in both situations, it's David's reputation that has put him now, or it's going to eventually get him out of what he's in. The Lord can use this. Proverbs says it this way: a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, some of you, think about your own life, some of you are an easy target to the world. You have a reputation. You can be drug into sin pretty easily, and people know that. And your friends know that. And these aren't friends. They're going to help you participate in sin with them. Some of you are an easy target. Your reputation gets you in trouble. Some of you may be asking, why do I keep ending up in this situation? Well, it's because everyone around you knows the path you take. And they know what they can use to get to you. A lot of it has to do with what people think about you, is why you keep ending up in the same places you keep ending up. People know you'll participate with them in sin. I used this example the other day, and no, not that it's a great example or whatever, but it is an example of this. Talking about it in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, but when I was traveling to Houston and working in Oldfield and I mean, even before coming here, but going up to Houston, going to meetings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, regularly, guys would go to a meeting and then they'd go to a strip club. That was just the deal. That was what you did. Or they'd go to the meeting. We'd have a meeting and I'd go to the bar afterwards. And I might have got asked once or twice, "You're going to go with us?" "No, I'm not going to go. I'm not better than you. I'm not better. It's not better. It's just I'm not going to spend my time that way. I got a wife. I got kids. I got a family. That's not how I'm going to spend my time." And then, of course, you get the reputation for Christian preacher. Whatever. Everybody was a Christian who went to a strip club. So, I mean, it's just whatever. The point is you develop this reputation among people, and they're not going to be the ones to tempt you. They're not going to bring you into that world anymore. People keep saying, "Why do I keep ending up in these positions?" Well, because you keep going into the sin with the folks that are around you. I mean, they know where you're going. If you would establish a no or a yes, just establish this. "Look, these are the boundaries I have. I'm not going with you to this place. I'm not spending my time here." Then you know what happens? The enemy says, I can't get him that way. I'll have to use a different way now. I'll stop asking." And that's what happened. That's what happens. And I worked with some good guys. I like the guys I worked with and all that stuff. But I mean, it's just the lost world. It's just what it is. It's just the way, it's just people. It's just the way people are. I mean, if you don't have Jesus Christ, what else do you have to live for? What's the point? Especially, I mean, if you're a single person, I mean, what's the point? And I'm not saying Jesus Christ is just, it's just, you should get Jesus Christ so you can get morality. You ought to have some morality. But Jesus Christ, if you've got something to live for now, you're saved for a purpose. What people think about your life matters. What people think about your social media, I mean, it's out there. Everything. People put everything out there. And when others watch this stuff, that's the picture they got of you now. You're this person. And your God is this God, and I'm not interested in that God. Or whatever your God is, it doesn't affect your life in a way. And why would I want to bring your God into my life? I can live the way you're living without your God. I don't know. I hesitate to use the word reputation. I don't know what else to call it. It's just what people think about you. And now we can all publish ourselves infinitely, and we do, and that's the idea people have about you now. I mean, you've heard it, you've probably dealt with it, maybe you've done it, where you put something on social media and you're like, "Man, that's not going to come across right." Delete. Or put it out there, let it go, and that's now become what people think about you. It's what people think about you. David has a good reputation. I say all that's the negative side. David has a good reputation, and he doesn't have a good reputation because he's trying to create an image. He has a good reputation because he loves God, and that's his reputation. He loves God, and I make a point that it's public because of this. We circle back to this verse. And this is the last point, and I'll let you go. This is the last point. Your reputation will be used by God, or it'll be used by the devil. The verse we talked about at the beginning, "All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose." That's Romans chapter 8. The qualifiers are to love God and be called according to his purpose. Do you think those things are secret things? That I love God in secret? That I'm called according to His purpose privately? No. No. It's not that I live my own little Christian life in my own little bubble and then God just works it all out to good. It's all things work together for good to them that love God publicly. I mean, I throw that in there publicly because what are you going to do privately? Who cares? I mean, there's value in privately loving God, but there's not value to anybody here. There's value to privately, I don't know, loving God in your own heart, but if people don't see that, it has no value to them. And you understand that. All things work together for good. So you know what happens with David? He loves God. He's called according to His purpose. And everybody around him knows that. Everyone around him. His enemies know that. His friends know that. Everyone knows he's called according to God's purpose and he loves God. So it's a very public thing. And so consequently, the Lord uses this. He uses the reputation David has now fostered and now generated out of his own life to get David out of a situation that David can't get out of the situation. The only thing that gets David out of this situation is his reputation. What people think about him. His enemies knew. That man is a fierce warrior for God, and he's cunning, and he's really smart when it comes to military stuff. And we don't want him really close to our army. That's what his enemies thought. His friends, Achish was probably somewhat of a friend. Achish said, man, he's a good man. He's faultless. He's like an angel of God to me. And so Achish treats him with the respect and courtesy and tells David, well, the rest of the guys don't want you in the army. And David, oh, really? What have I done? I mean, that's terrible to hear that I'm going to be sent home. I don't have to fight my own people. That's terrible. That's sarcasm. And Achish says, yeah, they're afraid you're going to do something. But all of that is because of what people thought of his life. Your reputation will either save you, or it will put you in a position, it will condemn you. It will either help other folks or it'll hurt other folks. It will either help the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ or hurt the cause of Jesus Christ. But guaranteed, and again, please make the distinction. David's not trying to create an image. The reputation came as a result of his love for God. So I could say, be careful of your reputation. It would more behoove you to be careful of your love for God. Because out of that will be generated a reputation. And God can use that. He can use that. You got a good reputation for being a faithful employee. You know what that brings? Opportunities. You got a reputation for being a sloth. You know what that brings? Sitting at home watching TV. It's not the only thing, but what people think is important. It is important. And the way you love God or love the world, people know that. People know that. And it will either help or it will hurt. And in David's case, David finds himself in a situation where he has no power to get out of the situation. And the only thing that comes to his rescue is something God can use. And that was what people thought about him. They knew he was a man that loved God. They knew he was a man that was called by God. People knew that. That wasn't a private thing. That was public. So, I ask you, among your friends, among your coworkers, do people know that you love God? Do you love God? Maybe we should start there. Do you love God? And if you don't, you're going to probably find yourself consistently in the same sinful situations over and over, because that's what you've surrounded yourself with. That's what you put yourself in. David, it's not... when he finds himself in these situations, God's able to use something out of his life to help him get out of it. All things work together for good. We love it. Love that part. All things. And I can just blank check, you know, whatever happens. But that's not the verse. It's all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. David meets those qualifications. The Lord gets him out of this situation. And it's what people thought about him that helped him. But it wasn't his image. It was his love for the Lord that created the reputation he had. So I hope that's helpful. I tried to scale it down a little bit. I know we've had some activities this morning. So let's do this. If Sam plays, he can play a little bit. We'll wrap it up. I'm going to pray for Irma again, and we'll get out of here. I tell you what, before you play, Sam, I'll just go ahead and pray, and then we'll wrap it up. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I do lift up Irma again. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom about what needs to happen there. I thank you for the help, folks that jumped right in to help and get Irma to the place she needs to get to right now, get her to the hospital. But I'm thankful for a good group of folks that take care of these matters and help folks. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for a good opportunity to gather again on Sunday. And I do lift up Amanda and her family and dealing with some of these health issues that Irma's got. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I do pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.